Guys, happy to be in church this morning. Amen. If you're happy to be in church, why don't you turn to the person sitting next to you and tell the person, I'm so glad I'm in church, and I'm glad that you're here too, and give someone a high five, a handshake, or something. If you're here for the first time, welcome. My name is John, and we are in this series of the four F's, and we're centering this series around the things that school never taught you but are probably the most important things in your life. And that's faith, fitness, family, and finance. And so we've covered already in the series faith. We've covered fitness last week. We're going to cover finance today. And then next week, we're going to have a special speaker on family. So come back next week. It's going to be good. We're going to jump into finance. How many of you have learned these things in school, that you've learned faith in school? Anybody learn faith in school? Anybody learn about fitness in school? Kinda. My daughter had sex ed in seventh grade, and I had to go make sure that it was appropriate. So I went to the screening, and I was the only parent that showed up. No other parent showed up. And she went through the whole thing, and I said, you know, that's great, but you don't talk anything about the emotional side of sex, and that affects emotion in a huge way, and so it's lacking, the curriculum's lacking. And she goes, why, what do you do? And I said, well, I kind of teach about emotions and all of that kind of stuff. And she said, well, would you want to come in and teach our class on sex? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And she goes, so what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a pastor. And she goes, oh. And she goes, well, let's just pretend you didn't tell me that. And I'm like, okay. And then so I come home, and my daughter's sitting down, and she's like, am I able to go to the class, or do I need to sit outside? And I said, oh, no, you're going to class. And she's like, really? Because she wasn't expecting it. And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, so you thought the curriculum was good? I'm like, yeah, the curriculum's going to be awesome. and she said, oh, so you like my teacher? I said, oh, no, your teacher's not teaching it. I am. And she's like, what? And she put her head down in the desk, and she's like, God, no! I was like, wow, that's awesome. I got my daughter to pray. So I don't know why I went off on that. Fitness, how many learned about finance in school? How to handle money? Some? Good. You know, to me it's crazy, right, that the whole purpose of school, or of education, is to teach kids how to get good grades so that they can go to college, so that they can get a good job and make money, but we don't teach them what to do with it. So we teach kids and this next generation, the younger generation, how to make money, but we don't teach them what to do with it once they get it. Isn't that kind of insane? Nobody else thinks that's insane except me. So. And then family, how many of you were taught conflict management and selflessness and forgiveness and mercy and patience in school? Anyone? No? How many of you think these things are kind of important in life? How many of you think that these things determine how fulfilled and happy you are in life? Isn't it crazy that we don't teach any of this stuff in school? Yeah, right? So count yourself blessed that you're here this morning. Give yourself a handshake, a high five, and say, yeah, good job, you're here. We're going to jump into finance this morning, and this is a passion that I've had for all my life. Not all my life, but my dad, when we were young, we never went to eat out, you know, like we're poor, super poor, and my dad, at one point, started selling insurance, and then he learned the rule of 72 and compound interest and all this stuff. And when he taught it to me, he taught it to me when I was like eighth grade, ninth grade. And from that time, like I had just, you know, it's been like a passion of mine to understand finance. And so that's kind of weird, right? But I remember. Never mind. I'll tell you about that later. Okay, so let's read the scripture and let's jump into it. How many of you know that money was God's idea? You know money's God's idea? The love of money is the root of all evil, but money's not the root of all evil. Like, money, finance, was created by God. And it says that it's him that gives us the power to get wealth. Say that again. Wealth. It's his power that enables us to get wealth so that he might establish his covenant. It was his idea. Wealth was his idea. So let's read the scripture together at the count of three. Luke 16:11. 1, 2, 3. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And he's talking about spiritual riches. And there's over 2,000 references in scripture that have to do with money. And lots of it is found in Proverbs. And I told a story once about how, I have my kids go through Proverbs every month and they gotta like soap, you know, scripture, observation, application, prayer. And my son had this one on do not spend like a fool. Like fools spend everything that they have, but wise people save their money. And then it was that day that his sister tried to rip him off and sell him a broken phone. And he went back to his soap and said, I'm not going to do it because God told me. And I was like, wow, that's cool. So anyway, let's pray and we'll jump right into it. God, we just thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that money was your idea, resources was your idea. And God, you've called us to understand it, to manage it, to make it, to multiply it, to mobilize it for your kingdom. And God, I just pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So there's four different principles that I'm going to go through this morning of finance. And it's these four principles. Everyone say making money. Making money. Principle two, and that's what school teaches us, and that's a good thing. Everyone needs to learn to do that. Principle number two is managing money. And managing money, financial peace, is something that our church goes through once a year. We're in the process of it right now, and we've only gone through two lessons, and there's nine. If you do want to jump into that class, it's available, I think. I'm not sure. But then you could do it next year if you want to, if you missed this last one. Principle three is multiplying money. Everyone say multiplying money. And then the last principle is mobilizing it. So everyone say mobilizing money. Okay, so we're going to jump into these four principles this morning. I'm just going to briefly cover what the scripture says about these four areas. And I'm not going to go into depth because that would take us forever to go into every single one of these areas and really take these things apart. But we're just going to kind of do a brief overview of these four areas. So number one of the questions, making money. You know, for whatever reason, this is kind of like a taboo area in our culture where nobody asks somebody else, how much do you make? That's like personal information. If there's a certain amount of money that you want to make, it's very subjective of how much is too much. How many of you think there's amount that is too much for someone to make? Okay, some people are raising their hand. How many think that 20,000 is too much to make? How many think that 50,000 is too much to make? 50,000 an hour, yeah. A year. How many think 100 is too much to make? How many think 500,000 is too much to make? Okay, some people raising their hands. How many think 1 million is too much to make? Like, once you hit 1 million, you're like, that's bad. No? Okay. How much is too much? Is there too much? And this is a question. How much should we make? And this is the first principle under making money, if you do ask that question. Let's read this together. I should make, no, go back. I should make more than I personally need. I should make more than I personally need. The reason why a lot of people think that there's a certain moral amount and you shouldn't make more than that is because our assumption is that we're going to spend it all ourselves. But God calls us to make more than we personally need so that we can help others, so that we can give to others. So in my personal opinion and what I read in scripture, there is no moral amount of what you can make or what you should make. There's a wrong concept that only greedy people want to make a lot of money, and that's not true. If we want to make more only to consume it for ourselves, then that's greedy. But if you want to make more to be a greater blessing to those around you, then it is not greed. There's this one lady in our church. I'm not going to name her name, but she's a multi-millionaire. And God has just blessed them in their business. And every year, around Christmas time, she takes thousands of dollars. And sometimes she gives like a whole thousand, sometimes it's just hundreds. But she goes around church and she hands out $100 bills to a bunch of people and thousands of dollars to people in the church. And she goes to Wailuku. She doesn't come here. So Christmas time, if you guys want free money, Wailuku is the place. But she does it every single year. And there's, I just heard a story of a couple that was on that side that they were in desperate need. And God told her to give some money to this one couple. It just got them through the month. And right after that, God blessed not only this lady that, and God has blessed her tremendously, but blessed this couple by providing them two amazing jobs, like for the husband and the wife. And so God uses our lives to bless others. And I just want to say this as well, because if you haven't been here for a couple of weeks, we've been talking about how we want Grace Bible Church to be a church without any need among us. And so during the offering time, if you have a need, we want you to write it down and put it into the offering so that we can meet that need. And as there is no need among us, then we're going to push that out into our immediate families and to our friends and community. But God wants us to take care of those that are inside the house. So the past 2 weeks, we haven't had one request. So I don't know if that means that there is no need among us or just nobody really thinks that that's a serious thing that we want to do. So so we had to make that video. That made me look really dumb because I wasn't looking at the camera. But we're going to keep communicating that until we can help whoever needs help. And if we don't get any needs in, then we're going to start going outside of the church. So is that cool? Is that a cool thing? Okay. Yeah, you can clap for God. That's great. So this is a process in Ephesians that it says that Satan, what is Satan? What does he do? He steals, kills, and destroys, right? That's his job description. He wakes up every morning and he's like, who can I steal from? Who can I kill? Who can I destroy? And that's what he does 24/7. Steals, kills, destroys, right? God, it says that he has come to give life and to give it more abundantly. So God is a giver. Satan is a taker. He's a thief, right? And so in Ephesians tells us the transition from the nature of Satan to the nature of God. Let's read this together at the count of three. One, two, three. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need, right? So there's this progression, stealing, and if you're stealing, then stop. And then what do you do instead of stealing? Work. And after you work, what do? You have something, right? So you work so that you can have something, then you can share, right? So there's this progress of stealing. Don't steal anymore. Work so that you can have, so that you can share, right? So work. So these are the things that that God talks about in making money, that we make it so that we can have and so that we can give. Can go to the next slide. This is the other thing that the Bible teaches us about making money, that we should make before. Everyone say before. Before you spend. Yeah? How many have a hard time with that? You don't need to raise your hand. I'm not going to say anything to incriminate myself, but I was going to say that women have a harder time with this than men, but that's not true. That's not true. Yeah, see? I shouldn't have said it, but I told you what I wasn't going to say. Make before you spend. Let's read the scripture together. One, two, three. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. And so this is what Scripture says. It says, like, before you plan on spending, make your work fit for you out in the field. Like, do something that's going to generate income. And after you generate the income, then work on spending it. And our country doesn't do that ever since credit was introduced. And I don't know, I'm 45. Ow. 45 this year. Going to be 45 this year. But I remember a time when you couldn't use credit cards in the stores. Do you guys remember that? Where you couldn't use credit cards in the store. You couldn't use credit cards at McDonald's, right? The only way you could really get into debt before in our country was for a house and for a car, right? And then you would use the car and you could pay for it in installments. And you could live in a house and pay for it for 30 years. And then what's happened in our country is that credit was introduced. And so now you can actually eat a Big Mac and pay for it next month, right? And it's crazy because the credit increases spending, and increasing spending in our nation, it makes things more expensive. So people that don't use credit have a harder time to live because everybody else is on credit, right? And this progression just keeps on going till the point where mortgages go from 10 years to 15 years to 30 years. In Japan, they have 100-year mortgages that they can pass down to their children. And so for culture, this is the tendency of humanity, is to spend before you make. But God says clearly, make your work, your outdoor work in order, and then get your fields ready, and after that, build your house. Does that make sense? That's wisdom, right? Okay, so that's making. And that's what school teaches, and that's great for us to make. The next thing is, once we make it, we need to manage it. Principle 2 is managing money. Everyone said manage. Okay, so this is managing money, basic thing of managing money. Number 1, don't spend more than you make. Don't spend more than you make. That's easier said than done, but that's what's, it's simple, but it's not easy. How many of you, this is real easy for you, not to spend more than you make? Raise your hand if it's easy for you. Raise your hand. Be proud. How many of you kind of like struggle a little bit with this? Like, you want to spend a little bit more than you make. Some of you just don't care. Some of you don't want to raise your hand and admit that that's you. I'll raise my hand for my wife and say that she has an easy time not spending more than she makes, because she's very frugal. She gets, you know what the biggest contention is with me and my wife when it comes to finances? Is that when I take money out of an ATM that costs $3, she hates that. That's like her pet peeve. And we get into arguments about that because I'm like, I needed the money. But anyway, sorry, I digress. Number 2, so don't spend more than you make. And this is the scripture. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. How many of you, we've heard that those two scriptures, right? That the borrower is slave to the lender. Everybody heard that, right? And everybody heard that, train up a child in the way that they will go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You've heard that one too, right? Did you know that they're back to back? They're back to back. So what God is saying in this is, train up your children in the way that they should go. And there's a whole bunch, train them up in the fear of the Lord and all those things in Proverbs. But the verse right after that, it says, don't borrow. And so training our children not to spend more than they make, it's a discipline that we pass down to our children. And I think that parents that spend more than they make have children that spend more than they make. And it's kind of like it carries on. And if you think, like, I spend more than I make, try think about if you saw that with your parents. And more likely than not, it's something that's handed down. And so it's something that we want to train our kids to make their work fit for them before they spend. One way that we do this in our house is, they're not allowed to go on electronics until they read their Bible first. They have to spend time in the Word before they spend time on their electronics. And I just recently started doing that because my kids are so engrossed in the iPad and, like, you know, all the electronics in the house. And so I said, okay, you're not going to go on any electronics until you do your soap. And it's amazing that they are so energized in the morning to jump into their word now. My youngest son, Asen, he woke up at 5:30 yesterday with his blanket, and he goes straight to the couch and pulls out his Bible and starts reading the Bible and then takes the iPad and goes to his bed. But he just wants to jump on the electronics, so he jumps in the word. But I think it's a good discipline to have them earn first before they spend. You're going to think I'm really mean, but I got really upset at my daughter this past week because she was asking me to drive her everywhere because she's one of those overachievers. So she's in, like, track and swimming and flute choir and band, and, you know, her things are in key time, all her stuff are. So I end up driving there and waiting for like 20 minutes to pick her up. And by the time she gets in the car, it's not a happy, happy time. And she did this 4 days in a row to me where she told me to pick her up in the wrong spot or at the wrong time. And so I just got really upset and I said, you know, I said, you don't value my time. And my time is valuable. And so starting tomorrow, if you don't tell me the right information, I'm going to charge you gas money for when I take you somewhere. And then I'm going to charge you for my time. I'm going to charge you $5 an hour, which is dirt cheap. But because I'm your dad, I'll give you my rate for $5. And if you grumble about it, then I'm going to join Uber. And when you want to ride, you're going to have to Uber me. Because I don't want her growing up entitled, thinking that she can just, like, people owe her, you know, like, going all over the place whenever she's a boss already, you know? So anyway, train up a child in the way that they'll go. You guys are all thinking, terrible father, yes. Bad dad. When my kids say, you're so mean, I start singing, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. Proverbs 6. So this is the other thing in. Save for the future. Dig your well before you're thirsty. That's a principle in Scripture. Save for the future. And let's read the Scripture together. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Isn't that brutal? The Bible's calling me a sluggard. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. And so the principles of managing money is, number one, don't spend more than you make. Number two, to save for the future. Principle three, multiplying money. And this is the fun part. Like, this is, I think this is the funnest part of finance, is the multiplication of money. And I think God has called all of us to do it. He talks about it in Matthew 25. But I like this principle. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. Learn to make money work for you, and one day you won't have to work for money. I love this principle of making money work for you. When I used to manage a store, the one thing I hated about managing the store was employees. Like, I couldn't stand managing employees. And when I thought about it, I was like, man, the dollar is so awesome because the dollar goes exactly where you tell it to go. You tell it to go here, it will go there. You tell it to jump into this corporation, it will jump into that corporation, and it will make money for you. You don't have to pay payroll tax. You don't have to settle arguments. You don't have to care for its feelings. It just, you tell it where to go, and it will work for you. Or you tell it to do something, like get you in debt, and it will take from you. You know, your money is very obedient to you, and it will either make money for you or it will take money away. If you get into debt, it will pull resources from you, and if you invest, it will give you resources back. So learning to make money work for you so that one day you won't have to work for money. It all has to do with the multiplication of finance. So Matthew 25, 19 through 20, let's read this together at the count of three. One, two, three. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. So this is the power of the multiplication of money. And when you pull it down to its basic how you multiply money, it's really through business. It's taking something, the simplest form is going to a garage sale, buying something for $5, putting it on Craigslist for $10, and multiplying your money, right? It's like doing business, it's doing trade. And what we do, we've learned to work for money, and when we get a job, what happens is the corporation arbitrages our talent, right? So they'll pay us $15 an hour, but they'll make $30 an hour off of us because the business's job is to multiply money. Right? And so when we invest in a stock or invest in a mutual fund, what's happening is we're actually being a part owner of that business so that as they arbitrage talent and they arbitrage money, that we're a part of that multiplication. And that's kind of like the minimum form of that. So God calls us to multiply our talent, multiply the things that he's given to us. This is just I don't know if you can see this, but this is what my dad showed me when I was in ninth grade or 10th grade. And it just shows the power of compound interest. So with an initial investment, can you guys see this? So initial investment, and most of you know this, at 5%, if you put $10,000 and you earn 5% on it, in 5 years, that $10,000 will turn to $12,000. And after 40 years, it will be worth $70,000, and that's at 5%. Let's jump to the 10% column. If you put $10,000 away for in an investment and you're making 10%, in 5 years, that 10 will turn into $16,000, but 40 years later, how much is it? $452,000. Now, you wouldn't think that that difference would be that big between 5 and 10%, but that difference is huge over time. That's the power of compound interest. And go to 20%, and actually, I think the S&P did like close to 20% for the last 2 years, and S&P normally does like 8% a year, and the past 2 years has gone up incredibly, and it's probably going to crash soon. That's just my opinion. So $10,000 at 20%, you have $24,000 after 5 years, and look how much you have after 40 years. How much do you have after 40 years? $14,600,097,716. So the difference between 20% and 5%, you think, oh, it's only a 15% difference. But after 40 years, it's a difference between $70,000 and $14 million. Isn't that crazy? It's like the power of compound interest. And so I looked at that and I was like, I really want to understand like how to get a good return. Because I think out of all the education that you can get, if I go to school, I'll learn how to make money, but the real power is not in making it, it's in multiplying it. Because if you can turn 10,000 into 14 million, that's like some power, some earning power, right? So I remember I used to go to the library, and for hours I just looked through Investor's Business Daily, and I'd write all the stocks returns down and like trying to figure out the market, and it's been a passion of mine for years. So I think that's one thing that our education system fails to educate our kids in, is we teach them how to make, but we don't teach them how to manage, and we don't teach them how to multiply. And I think managing and multiplying are much more powerful concepts than the making. And I'll just say one last thing about that, because we don't have time to jump into all this stuff, but we live in a culture now that information is completely free. So you don't have to go to the library and look at Investor's Business Daily. If you really want to learn how to multiply money, Google's right there. And it's pretty simple to learn now. So last principle of money. So multiplying, and then the last principle is mobilizing it. And this is my favorite part. mobilizing money. It's fun to get, but it's fulfilling to give. Let's say that together. It's fun to get, but it's fulfilling to give. Let's read the scripture together, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And there's nothing more uncertain than wealth, right? And we figured that out last week with the nuclear bomb test. Nobody was like, yeah. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants you to be happy. Did you know that? That God wants you to be happy. He created you to enjoy him and for you to enjoy him and for him to enjoy you. But he created you, and it says that he richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let's read this last scripture together. Luke 12:15. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.'" Okay, so I just want to close with that scripture. And I don't know if we can put that on the overhead, but we have, I want to read the parable of Luke 12 together. So one thing that I want to make clear is wealth does not equal godliness, right? The Bible specifically says that. And there's ministries out there that say, like, if you're living right, then you should be rich. And that's wrong. Because there's people that are wealthy that are very evil. But there's people that are poor that are very evil as well, right? There's people that are wealthy that are very righteous, and people that are poor that are very righteous. Money does not have any determining factor on whether or not we are right before God. But it exemplifies the character of who I am. If I have a generous spirit and I have abundance, then I can mobilize that to be a huge blessing. Because money magnifies your character, whether you're righteous or unrighteous. So I just want to make that point. But this is Luke. So even in wanting to and having the desire to prosper, to be a blessing, it's very easy to get greedy. And so and that's my struggle. It's a struggle that I have too. Like. So Luke 12, I'm going to read, where is it? Okay, so Luke 12, verse 15. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." I just want to say this one thing about covetousness, that we live in a culture that is very covetous. This is Luke 12, verse 15. We live in a culture that's very covetous, and anybody who has more, culture wants to pull them down. And it's not because they're wrong, but there's a lot of covetousness that happens within the hearts of people, and it's wrong. We should not care about people who have more than us, the same way that people in Ethiopia don't have a right to take our stuff away. We don't have a right to take away stuff from people that are much more wealthy than us. If you judge them, then you need to judge yourself too. And that's what Jesus starts his parable off. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." And that permeates our culture. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And then he spoke this parable. He said, the ground of a certain man yielded plentifully. Was there anything wrong with that? No, that's awesome, right? And that's what God wants us to do. Yield plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what should I do since I have no more room to store my crops? So he had abundance. Was that bad? No, that's awesome, right? He did everything right. He made money, and then he managed it well, and he was storing it. And then it says in 18, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater barns, and there I will store all. Everyone say all. All my crops and my goods. Okay, was there something wrong with that? Okay, because he wasn't looking at anyone else except himself. He was saying, like, all this stuff is mine. And 19, it says, and I will say to my soul, soul, how many do that? Talk to your own soul. Soul, you have many goods laid up for you many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But we just read that God said that he's given us all things to enjoy. Was that necessarily wrong that he was like, I'm going to enjoy my wealth? What was wrong was that he took everything that he had and he didn't give it out. He wasn't generous with it. And then number 20, verse 20, it says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Okay, before when I read this scripture, I used to think God saw this greedy guy and killed him. How many read that scripture and was like, God got mad at this guy for keeping everything, so he killed him? Anybody? After reading this again, I don't think that that's what God meant. Because we're all going to die. Right? And God called him a fool because when he had a lot, he didn't give it out. And he's saying, now that you're dead, who's going to get all your stuff? That's what made him a fool, is because when he was alive, he didn't give it out. When he was alive, he wasn't generous. When he had the power to do good, he didn't do it. And he just kept it all for himself. And God says, that's foolish, because you keep it all for yourself and then you die. What benefit does all that stuff in those storehouses do? Right? It's foolish, right? And that's why God said, you're being a fool. Because God has given us the power to get wealth to establish his covenant, to do something with it to benefit the life of others, to do something with it to help others come to know who Christ is. And that is that's the purpose of wealth. And I'll end with this, that I saw a bumper sticker. And this bumper sticker, it says, he who dies with the most toys wins. How many have seen that bumper sticker? He who dies with the most toys wins. Yeah. I want to make a bumper sticker that says, he who dies with the most toys still dies. Yeah, right? And God says, he calls us to be wise. Wise with our finances. He wants us to make it. After we make it, he wants us to manage it. So not to spend more than we make, to save for the future. He wants us to understand how to multiply it, how to take it, and then to get a return. And then to mobilize it, how to impact the life of others. Is that good? I think God is doing something in our church. And I don't understand it all, but several months ago, we taught on you're going to live in cities you didn't build. It's from Deuteronomy 6. You're going to live in cities you didn't build. You're going to fill your houses with things you didn't buy. You're going to drink from wells you didn't dig. You're going to have vineyards that you didn't plant. And from the time that we spoke that, we're seeing God do amazing, crazy things. And you're going to hear some of the testimonies in the future, but where God has been blessing people with free homes. God has been blessing people with amazing jobs. God's been blessing people with, like, houses filled with things they didn't buy, businesses that they didn't purchase. And I believe God really wants us to expect blessing from him, but also be faithful stewards of the blessings that he's given, because with prosperity, there's a purpose for it. God wants to bless us to be a blessing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Why don't we all stand and we'll close in a word of prayer this morning. Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Lord, for this amazing life that you've given us to live. God, that for every single one of us, some you've given 2 talents, some you've given 5, some you've given 10. But God, in the amounts that you've given us, you haven't called us to covet anything that belongs to someone else, but you've called us to steward what you've given to us. And God, every single one of us are on a race, our own race, that one day we will stand before you and we'll give an account of what we've done with the things that you've blessed us with. And God, it's my heart that every person in our church, every person in Grace Bible that knows you, Lord, that we will be able to stand before you one day and take everything that you've given us, in the same way that the faithful steward said, look, you've given me 5, and here I have 10 to give back to you. God, I pray that every single one of us would understand these principles of finance, that we would be able to make it, manage it, multiply it, and then mobilize it for your purposes and for your kingdom. God, I pray a blessing over every person's finances, that promise that you spoke over our church in Deuteronomy 6, that you want us to be givers and not takers, that you want to bless us abundantly. God, we receive that word. Every single person, Lord, in this church right now, God, I pray that you would make us vessels, dispensers, God, of your provision to our community. We ask for faith to believe in everything that you want to do through our lives and the generosity to see that happen. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Awesome. Well, great.